Today, I want to simply ask, what are the gifts of the Spirit? And what do we think of them and how do they work? But to start, I want to ask you, honestly now, it's okay to say yes to this question. Who enjoys receiving gifts? I know it's more blessed to give than to receive, and we're good little Christians, and we don't want to say, yes, I like getting gifts. But I like getting gifts, don't you? This is a hint for the men. Men, you want to knock the socks off your wife or your girlfriend. You want to, like, really show her, think really hard about it. You watch her, you think about it, work out what would really make her think, wow. It doesn't have to be expensive, but go to lots of effort, be attentive. And then surprise her. Surprise her with something that shows her that you really know and cherish her. Like a Doctor Who shirt. Yes! That's what you got to do, guys. And you got to keep doing it. Just because you want her and she's your wife now, and you're like, ah, done deal. No, don't stop winning her. Now, back to the point. It's okay to enjoy receiving gifts. It's okay. My son, Benjamin, started telling his mum and dad 3 months ago that his birthday was coming. Birthday's coming. It's birthday. Birthday. And then he started to tell his mum and dad how much he loves Indiana Jones. Birthday. Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones. Which is a pretty good choice, actually. My wife and I both wanted to be archaeologists when we grew up in the 1980s because of these movies. Every kid in my generation at some stage wanted to be an archaeologist because we thought that's what they did. Anyway, so this boy, he just keeps going, Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones. And he does it for 3 months. Guess what he got for his birthday? Spider-Man. Oh, that's so mean. Don't take parenting notes from him when he's joking, okay? He's a very good dad. He got Indiana Jones. And just the look on that boy's face when he got them and he held them up high. Yes! And now he's making us watch them. Which is cool. Which is really good. So, one more question for you. Apart from spiritual stuff, and because you know you're in church, so you have to say, the best gift I ever got was the love of God. The forgiveness of Jesus, the message of the gospel. You don't have to say that. I'm excluding those answers for now. What's one of the best gifts you've received? Just tell someone really briefly. What's the best gift you've received? One, just one. Okay. I bet that the best gift that most of us received was appropriate to us, showed that the person who gave it knew us. I bet you that the best gift that most of us received was tailored to us. Is that fair? And that's how God works. So when we talk about gifts, I think God has things to give us that are tailored to us. And so in the Bible, it actually does say this thing. Would you read it out loud with me? Ready? Pursue love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. After a massive long poem about love, Paul says, say it with me, pursue love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. This is how to live as a follower of Jesus. The first bit is to pursue love. What does to pursue love here mean? It actually means not just pursuing love for myself. It actually means to pursue a lifestyle like Jesus that he's giving for others, right? That's what Paul's actually saying here. He's not actually saying, get as much love for yourself as you can. He's saying, pursue or follow a way of life, a path that Jesus set. That's actually what it means here. And look, this other bit, do we do this? Do we eagerly desire spiritual things in our lives? Have you eagerly desired a new car? Have you eagerly desired to binge on the latest Netflix thing? Have you eagerly desired an iPhone 10, Benjamin Lyons? And here we are called to eagerly desire some spiritual things. And so that's what I want to talk about. What is this that we are called to desire? This is how it works. I have here a big gift. I need someone to open it for me. Just anyone. Yes. From all the way up here, I think it's Ollie. Yes. Now, don't open it quite yet, Ollie. Just give it a moment. So in the Bible, apart from the word Jesus, I think the absolutely most important word in the Bible is grace. You can preach a thousand years. You can tell people all sorts of rubbish. You can preach the Bible forever. But if you don't teach them grace, you ain't said nothing. It's not worth it without grace. Grace makes sense of everything. And grace is that God loves you. It's a big gift. It's free. You don't earn it. You don't do anything for it. It just is, right? So we're not working like any other religion because we're not earning something. It's just all a gift. Here's the big gift. And the word for this gift is charis. Can you say that with me? Charis. You've just learned the word grace, the most important word in the Bible. Okay. Charis, big gift. Do it, Ollie. Now, while he's doing that, let me tell you another word in the Bible, charisma. Eh? You like that word? Yeah, from it, we get a modern word, charismatic. And this is the second word. You find it in Romans 12. It says, we have gifts, that is charisma. That's one charisma, two charismata. We have gifts, charisma, because of the grace, charis, given to us. Does that make sense? So the greatest gift of all is the love of God in Christ. Yes. Let's have a look. What do we got, Ollie? More gifts. Ah, yes. Don't open them yet. Let's put them on the table over there, Ollie. Would you help me with that? So the greatest gift is simply the love of God in Jesus. You can't earn it. It's just totally given to you. And you just put out your hands and receive it. And when we do, a surprise happens that out of God's grace flows other gifts, little gifts, not quite as big as the original one. And the word for them, see, charisma, I tried to find an English version and I couldn't. So the best I could come up with was gracelet. Yeah? You like that? No. Okay. Let's give Ollie a clap. Thanks, Ollie. So here's the most important thing to know about spiritual gifts is they come from the grace of God, from the absolute central thing, which is that God is love. We call this the gospel, the message, right? When the gospel, the message, is breaking new ground, that big gift releases little gifts. It just does. When it's kind of sitting, lying fallow, doing nothing, well, it doesn't get unpacked enough and the other gifts don't pop out. Does that make sense? And these other gifts that come are spiritual things. They're miraculous, in all honesty. They're just miracles. If you often wonder, you know, where's the miracles? It's because it happens when the gospel, the message of God's love, is breaking new ground in people's lives. That's when it happens. Does that make sense? So it also happens when the focus is love. Because Paul says, pursue love and eagerly desire gifts. See, the gifts come when the focus is the love of God. When that's first and foremost, and when that's working in new people's lives, then these little miraculous things just pop out. And that's how the Bible talks about it. But here's the thing. From that point on, I think almost all Christians could agree, but then they start saying some crazy things. So then you get churches that say there's 19 spiritual gifts, and they list them exactly 19, or there's 21, or there's 12. And they go through three particular passages, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and then they try to make an exact list and get all systematic and theological about it. And do you know what happens when they do that? I'll show you what happens. They try to put God back in a box. The Bible was not made to be a book of lists. The Bible is not a book of rules, primarily, and it's also not just a book of systematic lists. When you start to list out the gifts and say, there's only these things that God does in people's lives that are miraculous and amazing, you list them out and you say, that's all there is, and now I know I've got that one, you're actually missing the whole point. Spiritual gifts cannot be completely listed out. I can't do that for you. That's why Lutheran churches don't do that, actually, because we don't believe that what we have in the scriptures here is prescriptive, but descriptive. So much goes wrong with the Bible when people take parts that are describing and they make them into prescribing. We take good news and we make it into rules and laws. And our church doesn't do that. So what I can tell you is this. There are so many. There are probably things that aren't exactly listed in the Bible. I know someone in our church who's got this amazing gift. She works in the front office and she can just put a person at ease. Not in just like, look, I'm pretty good with cats and dogs. I can put them at ease, you know. Other members of my family, no. I've got no hope with animals, but I'm good. And there's a member of our staff team in our church office who's just got this, it's a gift, it's a spiritual thing. It's just like one of our cats won't talk to other members of our family but loves me, you know. I can just, it's true. Here we go again. This is so true. And I've got this amazing gift with the animal. And there's a member of our church staff team, Patty, who's just this amazing gift. It's like when you come in and you're a cat, she can just make you purr. She's just, it's true, isn't it? Give her a clap. It's true. And I've watched her do it and gone, it's just mysterious and miraculous. She has this, it's clearly not just a skill she's learnt. I mean, as if she could. Whoops. It's just something spiritual that she can just set someone at ease and open them up and listen to them and bring them out. I don't know how she does it. And I went through all the gifts in the Bible and I went, is it the gift of encouragement? No, not really. Is it the gift of healing? Or I tried to list it and work it out and I couldn't work it out. Maybe it's like a bit of hospitality and service and encouragement. So it's a bit of encourage a hosta service. So the Bible doesn't work like this. It's not systematic in this area. Instead, it's describing the beautiful work of God who tailors gifts to people, to who you are. Does that make sense? So we don't actually do these surveys where we give you a piece of paper and we say, fill this out, tick, 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 and you go, ha-ha, I've got the gift of words of knowledge. That's my gift. And then you run around and you go, I did the survey. I've got my gift. This is who I am. Or I've got the gift of wisdom. We don't actually do that because the Bible wasn't written for that. If you want to do that, well, go to a psychologist and do some psychometric measuring tool. Great. But you won't find out about spiritual gifts because they're gifts and they're spiritual. Would you quietly look at that list for a moment and just, if you're with somebody, you might, if you've got the sermon handout, well, otherwise it's on the screen, get the sermon handout. It's got information on prophecy and tongues on there. Just point out one that's interesting to you, to somebody nearby. If you've got the list, otherwise do it on the screen. Just take a moment and then I'll move on. Maybe you can identify someone you've seen who's worked in a miraculous way with one of these gifts. It's just amazing, miraculous, better than human. Can you see that? Have you seen someone like that? Now, I want you to pray and eagerly desire God to do amazing, spiritual, miraculous, supernatural things in you. But I don't want you to actually find the list and then say, Lord, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one. Instead, just unpack the gospel, the message of God's love and grace, and then be open to what God will do next. If you write out lists and then try to all kind of fit in the list, it's just like taking a lion and caging it. God's bigger than that. So, what do I do if I want to know a bit about my own giftings? Well, first of all, you know what? It's nice to know, but you don't have to. What's better is to be living in the gospel and just flowing and letting them happen, and they will. That's the honest truth. And if you want to discover and see God's gifts working in you, you can just like ask someone, what have you seen? And ask them to pray and tell you what they see. But look, this is how Paul says to do it. Ready? Read it with me. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Just pursue love. Be open. Ask God, use me. And then just try stuff. Try stuff in faith. Try playing guitar. And if you play it as bad as Doug, well, obviously, it's not a spiritual gift. Oh, it's going to be fun in the office this week. That's two down. Okay. One time I was in the office and someone knocked on the door and my mouth opened and I told them why they were there, which I didn't know, what was going on in their life, which I didn't know, and what God said about it, which I didn't know. And they went, and I went, I was more amazed than them. And I've never done that again. Not all gifts are permanent things. You know why? Because they're given for serving others in the moment. If you just be open and trust, God will do stuff through you that you didn't understand or expect. So one writer says, if you want to find or identify your gifts, it's not as difficult as you would imagine. The most obvious and practical clue is your degree of success at various attempts at serving. Normally, you might serve in various areas before you can determine what gifting you have. And I also find that our desires can indicate the gifts you have. They can also just indicate what you want. But sometimes your desires, how you're shaped, is how God will use you. For instance, I honestly desired to preach. I think God used that. That's okay. But here's the big thing. Gifts are not your own, okay? You don't possess them. And they're not for you. They're for others. They're given for the pursuing of love. So the more you pursue love for others, the more gifts come out of you. And it's really tough because, you know, I might ask God for the gift of wisdom, but God will give that gift for helping others. And if I take that gift and use it for myself, I ain't got it anymore. Does that make sense? So just be open. Try stuff in faith and see what happens. I'm just going to finish with two things. First of all, in these boxes is something. In these boxes is another gift, which you might like to grab one of these. You know, these sticky bracelets? You might like to stick one of these on today during Holy Communion, and just, they're waterproof. You could keep it on for a few days or even just for 24 hours. And in that 24 hours, pray for yourself and for our church to pursue love and eagerly desire gifts. See what happens. So that's your, wait for it, your gracelet bracelet. So your gracelet bracelet. I'm asking you today to do something with this sermon and just go home, wear that as a reminder of the gracelet, the gifts that God gives, and just pray for God's gifts to flow out of you. Do it for the pursuing of love. Do it for others. Then it happens. Do it for yourself? Nada. Let's finish by talking about bass players. What's the most important instrument in the band? Oh, most certainly not bass. Bass is boring. Good bass is often very boring, right, Kevin? This is a true story. It's in the newspaper. German orchestra violinists are suing for a pay rise, claiming they play many more notes per concert than their colleagues do. It's a true story. The Beethoven Orchestra in Bonn, the 16 violinists actually decided to sue for better pay, and one of the criteria they used to get better pay was we play more notes. I'm a pianist, so beat that. We got 88 keys. And the director of the orchestra in Bonn, Laurentius Bonitz, argued that the violinists shouldn't be paid more. He said, maybe it's an interesting legal question, but musically, it's very clear to everyone. And I was reading that article and I was like, what is very clear to everyone? Musically, it's very clear to everyone. End of quote. What is clear? The violinists don't think it's clear. I think he was taking a director's point of view. And what's a director's point of view? Every instrument counts. There's no instrument that's more important than the other instrument. They all count, right? Even bass players. The best bass playing is just like ding, ding, ding. I was listening to Kevin before the service and all he was doing is going ding, 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 ding on one note for like almost a minute. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not a bass player. But you know what? You can all tell, go and tell Kevin, the Sundays we don't have bass in the band, it's whatever. A band needs every bit. And it needs every bit working together. And what I think is, when the church makes love our focus, and sometimes I think we're so busy looking for our new car, our new life, our new job, our new things, it's very hard in a consumerist society to even break that. But when we do stop that and we actually, you know, we stop making our hip pockets and our future security and everything the thing, then love just automatically flows out into gifts. There is no difference. All of these gifts are beautiful and needed. And have you ever seen it? You see a group of people and you see something happen and you just know they just worked together like an orchestra and you can't work it out. That's when you're seeing the Holy Spirit doing stuff. That's when the gifts are active. All right, we're going to finish now. We're going to finish by me asking you to say with me, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, pursue love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit.